Y'all, last week I was gone. I was gone to Atlanta officiating one of my best friend's wedding, right? And I got a picture of him real quick. Yeah, then we got their engagement picture right here. There you go. Look at that. Come on now. Y'all, I was there with Chris from day one. Whenever he decided, you know, whenever he saw her, he was like, man, this girl fine. You know? And then whenever he started to pursue her, I remember him asking questions. Man, what do I do? What do I do? What I don't do? You know, years of the process. Last week, I got the opportunity to officiate in the wedding, you all. And so, but moments before the wedding, he was saying, Richard, like, when did the pursuit for Heidi begin in your life? Like, you saw her. When did you finally decide to pursue her? And then I started thinking, I'm like, well, it's funny. If Heidi was here, this is what she would say. If Heidi was here, she would say, hey, we was walking down. You know, we seen each other many times at SBU, Southwest Baptist University. And then one day he walked in the cafeteria. We small talked about food. And then a group of us went to a restaurant. And that would be kind of like the first day he started pursuing me. I love my bride. I love her. But sometimes, sorry, Heidi. Sometimes Heidi has the tendency of not putting emotion in there. Not putting the details, not adding some flavor to the story. Now, if you want to get to the nitty gritty, you got to ask me. So Chris asked me, Richard, when was the first time you pursued your bride? Allow me to set the tone. Can y'all dim the lights real quick? All right, now go ahead. You know, give me a little flavor on the screen real quick. Can y'all do that for me real quick? That ain't it. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me get some music to go with it, too. Is there any music? Oh, my goodness. Well, one day I was walking through the halls of Southwest Baptist University, and I kept running to her, and I said, you know what? Enough is enough. Today is the day that she will be racing for chocolate temptation. I walked through the doors of the cafeteria and I saw that beautiful European princess. And I looked her in her eyes and I said, the most beautiful words ever constructed. I said, girl, are you gonna eat the rest of that chicken nugget? She said, uh-huh, what you eating? And I said, and I said, enough of this peasant food. I'm going to take you to a place that's dim lighting, soft music, ethnic cuisine. The place, Taco Bell. Ay, 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 ay! And that is the day she was racing for chocolate temptation. All right. Heidi, you know that's 100% truth, right? Y'all, after that, she just fell head over heels. I couldn't beat her off of me with a stick, all right? But y'all, like, right after that, like, that's when my pursuit really, really began. I did all of that stuff. I mean, I wrote her poems, you know. I watched chick flicks. I watched The Notebook for the very first time with her, all right? And I liked it. But don't worry about that, you know. I wrote her poems. I took long walks with her. I took her out to eat. We stayed on the phone to the wee hours of the night. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, who you hang up? I'm pretty sure my roommate just wanted to throw up all over the place, right? You know? And whenever I messed up, I was quick to say, my bad, I was tripping. I'm sorry. Y'all, I did everything I could do to pursue that girl. And then 4 years later, I popped that question. A couple of months after that, I saw that girl walking down the aisle. Like, my pursuit, you know, I got her. My pursuit ended. Big misconception. My pursuit ended. Because when I saw her at the altar, I thought that was the ending. I did everything I could to brainwash this beautiful girl to spend the rest of her life with me. And whenever she said, I do, I quit. Again, the biggest misconception I had in pursuing my bride was to think that the pursuit ended whenever I said I do. No more talking to each other late at night on the phone. I gotta go to work. You know, like, we're going out to eat. What do you want to eat? 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 Oh, I want to eat this. Well, I don't want to eat this. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, you pick it up. You know? And we're arguing about enjoying spending our time together. Think about that. We're arguing about enjoying our time we're spending together, which doesn't make it very enjoyable. What I'm about to write you a poem for. I liked you, so I put a ring on it. You know what I'm saying? No, I am not about to watch any chick flicks. We're about to sit here and we're about to watch somebody's head explode on the TV. I ain't about to do all of that stuff. Why? Because my pursuit ended. Men, I'm picking on you this Sunday. This morning, sorry, should have came. Men, when was the last time you pursued your wife? And when I'm talking about pursuing your wife, I'm not saying you're doing the bare minimum or, you know, from time to time, oh, yeah, let me give you a little foot rub. Let me give you a high five. Let me encourage you real quick. I'm talking about when is the last time you pursued your bride like you pursued her before you were married? Or rewinded to your the biggest time, the best time that you was Mac Daddy 3000 and you really pursued her. When was the last time we did that? Another question. Do you even know how to pursue your bride? Man, I believe every day, we should ask ourselves, do I pursue my bride? Check this out. God spoke through Paul, who happens to be an unmarried man, to tell us how to solve this problem. God used an unmarried man to tell us how to solve this problem of pursuing our bride. Let's read Ephesians 5. Y'all still with me? Men, you ain't mad at me, right? Women, this is the perfect time to go ahead and start nudging them. I know some of y'all are doing it right now, all right? Perfect time to do it. Paul addresses it, Ephesians 5, starting with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, who is the church? We are the church. So we ought to love our wives like Christ loved us. I'm gonna repeat that. Who is the church? We are the church. The people are the church. And we ought to love our wives like Christ loved us. But how? How can we possibly love our wives like Christ loved us? Answers it right after, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he may present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he might be holy and without blemish. Here's my first point, men. If you desire to pursue your wife, then you must love her by giving yourself up. You must love your wife by giving yourself completely to her. Verse 25 says that husbands ought to love their brides as Christ loved the church. And so then, so if Ephesians is telling us to do that, that means that we have to study to figure out how Christ loved the church. Gives us, you can start at the very beginning of Genesis and read it all the way to the end of Revelation and gives us a perfect picture of how Christ loved the church. But allow me to just give you one verse real quick. Two verses, excuse me.
Matthew 20, 27 through 28. Verse 27, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And that word slave right there is the word bondservant. What is a bondservant? A bondservant is somebody who willingly serves, relinquishes his rights so he can be a servant. Not a slave in the sense of somebody that's unwillingly being, you know, they're serving against their will. They're being forced to serve. If you're a bond servant, you choose to serve. So whoever would be first among you must be your willing servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ is God. You think about that. Christ is God who created everything. Nothing would be created without God. Christ is God. And Christ came to serve you. Makes no sense. Think about this. When Jesus, he washed the disciples' feet, the most lowliest servant's job ever, Jesus knelt down and washed the disciples' feet, washed his children's feet. He shows you how low. And so men, God said, yes, you are indeed the head of the household. I placed you there. You're the head of the household. But just because you're the head of the household does not mean that you need to be a ruthless dictator. I didn't create you for that. I made you the head of the household so you can lay your crown at your queen's feet. I gave you a crown to lay it at your king, queen's feet. Queen, 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 queen's feet. That's a whole nother sermon. But men, do we do that? Lord knows our culture doesn't. We treat women as some subservient second-class citizens. What does your house say of how you, king, treat your queen? If walls could talk, what would they say? Ticking y'all off yet? Christ willingly gave up his rights to willingly serve us by laying down his life for us. If she wants to watch a chick flick, watch the chick flick. She gives you a honey-do list. I'm speaking to myself, by the way. She gives you a honey-do list. Complete the honey-do list. Lay down your life. If you deserve, she makes you angry, and you deserve the right to be angry, then lay down your rights. Just lay them down. You insert whatever. Whatever your wife desires from you, if it's holy, how about we just lay down our rights and make sure we make that happen? Because we should desire to serve her and to love her. What better leadership advice, or what better leadership role, whatever better leadership example you can give your wife is to be like, okay, what you got, girl? I'm here to serve you. Do you know what will happen to your wife when she constantly see you serving her? The spirit inside of you will reach out to the spirit inside of her. If you want to change your wife, start by loving her. Repeat that. If you desire to change your wife, start by loving her. And how do you love her? You give up everything for her. And let's not think we're super foreign to this, because whenever we was at the height of our pursuit, Mac Daddy 3000 mode, we were doing all of that stuff. I created a scrapbook for that girl. A scrapbook. I knew I was going to be the dude who get a large German Shepherd or a Nikita, or give me even an old, small, ugly, fat-looking dog, like an English bulldog. Give me a pit bull. I would love that. You know what our first dog was? A pug chihuahua mix named Sophie. You couldn't get, she slept in the bed with us. You couldn't get more girlier than that. Why did I want Sophie? Because the one I was pursuing wanted Sophie. And if I could take it on the chin for that to get her, give me a million Sophies. Now Heidi's thinking about a cat. You pushing it, girl. Men, in order for us to truly love our wives, to give it all up for our wives, you know what you're going to have to do? Die. And death is not comfortable. Death is not comfortable. Are you willing to be uncomfortable? What's the middle letter in the word die? Say it out loud. I. You are in the middle of death. You. It starts and ends with your dying. Men, your marriage starts and ends with your dying. If you don't die for your bride, for your family, your marriage will fail. 100% guarantee. No money back. Feel that sense of urgency. You're selfish, your marriage won't last. And if you have children, your children will see that marriage and more than likely will mimic their marriage. And so generations after generation will be hurt, scarred, terrible marriage because of your leadership. Don't get me wrong. God can do some incredible things and God will come right in the middle of it. But I don't want that. I don't want that for the legacy that I leave for my future generations. I want Maggie, Violet, and Penelope to submit to pursuit of a man that loves her, that would die for her. And I'm not talking about just dying. Oh, let me take a bullet out in front of you. I'm not just talking about that dying. Men, make the word practical. What I mean by dying is you wake up, and if it's 3 a.m. and you got to burp the baby, then burp that baby. If it's time to change that poopy diaper, then go get a wipe and change the diaper. If you're gonna have to decide, which you always will, to figure out where you're gonna eat, have a stockpile of restaurants in your mind. I know most of you already do. Women are just weird, but be okay to accept the weirdness of your wife when they're pregnant. We don't understand that, and their body is going through crazy chemical imbalances. We don't understand it. But how about we be understanding in situations that we don't understand? That's all about dying. I'm saying this because I failed miserably in many of these areas. I looked at Heidi last night. She was going on a retreat. I had to watch the girls, and Heidi came through, and I'm like, babe, I just feel like I'm failing a lot of ways as your husband. I got to get better. And how about we get better in loving our wives? Now, why are we doing all of that stuff? Ephesians 5 said, because we love them as Christ loved the church. He gave us a perfect example of how to do so. Men, are you willing to die today? Pursue your bride. Hear this, men. Pursue your bride by loving your bride, which means dying for your bride. Can I get an amen, men? Let's say you are failing at this. It's a brand new day today. God's mercies are new every day. Women, let's say your man is failing at that. If God's mercies are new every day, so should yours. Clean slate. Clean slate. Love keeps no record of wrongdoings. Clean slate. All right. What are we going to do? We're going to start today. Now, here's the deal. Check this out.
men, like God is knocking on some men's hearts, and then they're going to get the sense of urgency to start implementing the word of God that God gave them on their hearts today and start implementing it, which means they're going to start doing what God told them to do today. I know the temptation from some ladies sometimes. You just doing that because Pastor said it. So how can men win in that situation? We're supposed to, let me go continue to do the same thing I was doing. Didn't you hear what Pastor said? Don't tell me I'm lying. Josh, that's why you laughing extra hard, because you know I'm telling the truth. I'm sorry, Amy would never do that. Almost got in trouble right there. Today is a new day. How beautiful is it that God is willing to erase everything, and we can be the brand new person that God has designed us to be right now today. Brand new marriage. Y'all cool with me? All right. Only got 2 points. This is my final point. Final point is found in verse 26. But let's combine 25 and 26. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? Big time. Verse 26. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So let's camp of this word, sanctify. I got it on the screen. To sanctify someone or something is to see that person or set that person or thing aside for the use intended by its designer. So check this out. A pen is sanctified whenever it's writing on paper. It's being used by what it was intended for. A ladder is sanctified whenever you climb up the ladder. A car is sanctified when you drive it. So human beings are sanctified when they function in the way intended by their original designer. Who is the original designer? God himself. Hear me out. So people are sanctified when they live their lives according to the will of God. What if I was trying to climb a large structure, and I'm like, man, I can't get up there. What do I need to get? Let me get this piano. A piano isn't used to climb up there, for I would need a ladder. No matter how expensive, incredibly amazing that piano is, it's not designed to climb up that ladder. Many men and women are being completely useless. Why? Because we're not doing what we are designed to do. A lot of Christians aren't even doing what they're designed to do. We are designed, created, knitted in our mother's womb. We were fearfully and wonderfully made to live our lives according to God's design, God's purpose. Your marriage was created to do what? To show the world like how Christ loved the church. If you're not doing that, you're putting a piano where a ladder should be. It's useless. Is your marriage useless? Check this out. Sanctification is the process of looking like God. Oh, I'm about to get excited right now. Sanctification is the process of looking like God, but here's the problem with that. There is no way I can sanctify myself. Nobody in here can sanctify yourselves. That's why God sent God to give you God so you can be sanctified by God to look like God. Hear me out. God gave us God to look like God. Does that make sense? Let me repeat that, all right? Sanctification is the process of looking like God.
There's nothing that you can do to look like God. So God sent God to give you God so you can look like God. Y'all hear me? This is what makes it so beautiful. And God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So what does that mean? God will forever pursue us. Till death do us part, he is constantly pursuing us so we can look more like him, constantly pursuing us. If we go left and God wants us to go right, God is pursuing us to go right. Hey, what are you doing? Don't do that. You come here, you say this, you do this. Whenever we do something good, he's pursuing us by congratulating us and encouraging us. He's always there. In our lowest times or in our highest times, God is always there because he would never leave us nor forsaken us. And so that means he will forever be on the constant pursuit of us. Husbands, whenever you get married, you vow to love your wives to death do us part. Death do us part. You looked her square in her eyes. I promise to love you and cherish you for all the days of my life till death do us part or you kill me first, whichever one comes first, all right? You know? You made a vow to her and to God. Think about this. Marriage is the first institution that God created, very first. He created marriage before he did the church. That's how important it is. God created marriage before he did the church. And he goes, okay, before I create the church, let me create this. Because whenever I do create the church, oh, it's going to be big. But use this as an example of how I love the church. Does your marriage reflect that, men and women? Husbands, whenever you get married, you vow to love your wives to death do you part, which means you should pursue your boo until life is due. You heard me. And there's a reason why I said boo. I was thinking about all of these nice constructed words, putting them all together, you know, to make it sound beautiful or whatever. And I'm like, girl, my boo. Do I have any 80s babies, early 90s babies? Anybody, raise your hand. 80s baby, early 90s. All right. Now, raise your hands high. Don't be ashamed of that. You see those hands in the air? I think they're the most romantic generation ever. Why? Because we understand R&B like nobody's business. Usher? What? I heard somebody say that's right. You know what I'm saying? Key Sweat. Oh! Okay, look, let me stop. All right. Boys to Men. All of these love songs. Come on now, 80s baby. Now, when was the last time you men attempted to sweep your bride off her feet? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time, before she got home, you came home early and you set up everything? Had a couple of candles lit. You made some nice, amazing Asian cuisine, ramen noodles. You know what I'm saying? Like you had all of that stuff ready for her. And she came home and you was like, what's up, girl? You know what I'm saying? When's the last time you did something like something that was designed on Valentine's Day on like June the 1st? When's the last time, like, whenever you was pursuing her, you was height of your pursuing. It didn't matter. You just did it because you loved her. You just did it because you was pursuing her. Why did that stop whenever we get married? Oh, let me wait for her birthday. Let me wait for her anniversary. Let me wait for Christmas. Let me wait for Valentine's Day. For what? Man, I'll give you a challenge. You can do it whenever you're driving home or whenever you're at the house. You find a place to get alone. And you sit down next to your wife, and you look her square in her eyes, and you grab her hand, and you say, my beautiful bride, you my boo girl. Let's pursue our wives. Let's bring the swag back into our marriage because the world will see that swag. You think God has swag whenever he pursues us? Have you read some of the scriptures? How beautiful the words are about how he loves us? We get to show that to the world. Pursue your boo till life is due. Can I get an amen? I'm going to end with this. I know I was talking to men, and it was really easy for a lot of women or a lot of single folks to immediately check out. But check this out. So let's say you don't have a groom, like you don't have a husband. Just because you don't have a husband does not mean that you don't have a groom. Ephesians 5 said that husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Check this out. Christ loves the church. Christ loves you. If you don't have a husband of mimicking that, that doesn't mean that you're without. Because you have a groom loving you. Accept that love. You are the bride of Christ. And he loves you so much. He already prepared a place for you. And he actively pursues you right now at your highest times or at your lowest times. And one day we're going to be with him forever because of his pursuit. If you don't know Jesus in here, he is actively pursuing you. And God is letting you hear this right now so you can submit underneath his pursuit. Will you submit underneath his pursuit? Everybody stand up, please. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus, that decides, who wants to make that decision to follow Jesus right now, right now. You want to submit underneath this pursuit. Will you be so bold of raising your hand right now? Is anybody in here that don't know Jesus, that desires to know him today? Will you be so bold to raise your hand right now? Raise it up. Men, let's show the world how Christ loves us by loving our bride. Women, I pick on you next week, all right? If you're married, how about you hold hands with your bride right now? And let's pray. Oh, if you're engaged, hey, hold your hands. Look, it don't matter. If you just want to hold hands, just hold hands. Let me just pray for you. Father, thank you so much for hearing us. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that we will obey. That the world think that we're crazy strange because we're showing a very different type of love. A biblical love, a godly love. And that it'll be so strange, so unique, so foreign, that you will compel them to follow that love and they will accept you as their Lord and Savior, Father, then they will go on loving their brides. They will loving the world, Father. We pray. Just show us what to do. Show us where to go. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you for the institution of marriage. We pray, God, we will be great stewards of what you give us. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, my bad. Well, y'all can go now.